Good day, and welcome to the RFA 2020 103 Development for Homeless Persons Review Committee meetings. Conference call hosted by Rachel Grice. My name is Anne, and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key *0 on your telephone and the coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded for replay purposes. And now I'd like to hand the call over to Rachel. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, we will get started. I will now call this review committee meeting to order at 2 o'clock on Wednesday, May 13th, 2020. Good afternoon. This review committee meeting is to give the scores and to submit a recommendation to Florida Housing's Board of Directors regarding the proposal submitted in response to RFA 2020-103 for housing credit and sale financing for homeless housing developments located in medium to large counties. This meeting was noticed in the Florida Administrative Register pursuant to Section 120.525 Florida statutes. In response to this RFA, 4 applications were received. A list of applications is attached to the agenda. The agenda for today includes introductions for the record. I will then open the floor for discussion and comments among the review committee members, followed by the committee providing scores for the record. Based on the scores, the committee will make recommendations to the board, and finally, we will adjourn the meeting. With that, let's go ahead and take roll. I will announce the review committee members and non-committee members who are expected to be on this call for the record. Committee members, when you hear your name, please verbally confirm that you're on the phone through the conference call and that you can see the spreadsheet on your computer. Make sure that your computer microphone is muted and that you're the only listening through the phone line. You may mute your phone when you aren't speaking if you prefer, but using the phone line will allow the call to be heard by all participants, even those not using Teams, and also ensure the recording records the entire meeting.
Is now joining.
So I will start with myself, Rachel Grice, the chair and committee member. Elaine Roberts.
I'm here and I can see the spreadsheet.
Thank you. Diana Fields.
Yes, I'm here and I can see the spreadsheet.
Tracy Banner.
Hi, I'm here and I can see the spreadsheet.
Zach Summerlin.
I am here and I can see the spreadsheet.
Charles Jones.
I am here and I can see the spreadsheet.
Matt Judge and Ina.
I'm here and I can see the spreadsheet.
Okay. For non-committee members, when you hear your name, please verbally confirm that you're on the phone and that you can see the spreadsheet on your computer. Kenny Derrickson.
I'm here and I can see the spreadsheet.
Jean Salmonson.
Yes, I'm here and I can see the spreadsheet.
Liz Thorpe.
I'm here and I can see the spreadsheet.
Representative from the Inspector General's office, please state your name and confirm that you're on the phone.
David Merck, and I can see the spreadsheet.
Representative from the Development Finance Department.
Kevin Tatro, and I can see the spreadsheet.
Representative from the Legal Department.
Casey Johnson, and I can see the spreadsheet.
Okay, thank you. This meeting is being held telephonically. External callers that are on the phone do not have access to see the spreadsheet as we enter information. Committee members and non-committee members, especially Jean, please be mindful of that and be as descriptive as possible when taking any action. Jean, will you be posting the results of this committee meeting on the Florida Housing website?
Yes, there's an RFA page for this RFA for 2020-103, and I'll be posting the spreadsheets and everything under a heading for review committee meeting results to be presented to the board on May 28th. That's the new board meeting date. You should have received a listserv yesterday morning stating that the board meeting will be on May 28th at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Okay, thank you. I will now open the floor for discussion and comments. Hearing none, we will begin to provide the scores for the record. Jean, would you like to tell us about the spreadsheet?
Yes. The spreadsheet will first begin by going through the point items, and each scorer will, as each item that was scored is read, the scorer will read out their points assigned to each application, and then we'll go on to the next item that was scored. We can also, we'll see the total number of points on the screen, and then we'll also talk about those scores towards the end to read out the total point values for each application. And then we'll go through eligibility items. I'll go ahead and put in a Y on the spreadsheet for all of the eligibility items that were scored. And as we go through each item, the scorers will announce whether they had any exceptions or no's for any of the eligibility items not being met. And for those of you who can see the screen, you'll also see two rows populate automatically. One of the eligibility items is that a minimum total score of 96 points is met, and that will appear with a Y or an N if that eligibility requirement is met. And then another row will appear if all eligibility requirements are met, a Y or an N will appear for each application. And I'll try to be mindful that for the, anyone attending from the public, we'll talk about that as well when we go through and verify all the information. Tiebreakers, these are also answers that can be answered with a yes or no, so I'll put in a Y for all applications as we go through each item, and then the score will be asked if there are any no's or exceptions to those yeses. And then there are also the goals, which there are a couple of goals that we have, a nonprofit goal, which can be addressed with a Y or an N, you know, yeses and no's. And then both the region designation and county size also tie into applicants qualifying for goals, and so that'll just be the score announcing the region and county size for each application. And then when we get to the end, I'll go through my spreadsheet. Kevin, who's not on the committee, is also entering data into his spreadsheet, and we'll make sure that the data we have in the spreadsheets matches with the scores. And again, I'll try to be mindful of the public who might be listening but not have access. Okay. You know, if the public doesn't have access to screens, I'll be mindful of that, and I'll read out some of these results. And then we'll be able to move on to another tab, which is similar to our application submitter report that was posted when these applications first came in. So I'll take a few minutes, and I'll copy data from the first tab into this tab. And then at that point, we'll have enough information to begin our funding selection process. So we'll go through the RFA. We'll, you know, follow the instructions in the RFA for selecting applications, and we'll be building those spreadsheets that will be taken to the board, again, on May 28th at 1:30 is when the board meeting will be. And also that affects our workshop. We're going to have a workshop where we start talking about this will actually be the third workshop where we'll be talking about RFAs issued in 2020 and 2021. And that workshop will be on May 29th at 10 a.m. So those listservs went out yesterday. If you didn't get the listservs, give me a call later and make sure you're signed up for the listservs properly for anybody listening. Okay. That's all, Rachel.
Thank you, Jean. Okay, we'll get started, and we'll start with myself, Rachel, and I scored all applications. 3D2, submission of principal disclosure form stamped by corporation as pre-approved, maximum of 5 points. Jean, all applications received 5 points.
Lisa Walker is now joining.
Okay.
Okay. 3C, 3B, development experience withdrawal disincentive, maximum of 5 points. All applications received 5 points. Elaine, did you score all applications?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Lisa Walker is now exiting.
C1, operating and managing experience, maximum of 40 points.
Okay. Palmetto Highway, 34 points. Innovare, 31 points. Plateau Village, 32 points. And Durham, 30 points.
Okay. Diana, did you score all applications?
Yes, I did.
Okay. B2A, access to community-based general services, maximum of 20 points.
Palmetto Hideaway, 15 points. Innovare, 16 points. Plateau Village, 11 points. Durham Place, 11 points.
Thank you. Tracy Vanner, did you score all applications?
Yes, I did.
Okay. C2B, access to community-based services and resources that address tenants' needs, maximum of 35 points.
Innovare, 34 points.
Oh, I'm sorry, if you said something for Palmetto Hideaway, I missed it.
Palmetto Hideaway, 30 points.
Thank you.
Innovare, 34 points. Plateau Village, 32 points. Durham Place, 30 points.
Thank you. Zach, did you score all applications?
Yes, I did.
Okay. C3, approach towards tenant application and screening procedures for households applying for tenancy, maximum of 25 points.
Yes. Palmetto Hideaway, 17 points. Innovare, 24 points. Plateau Village, 19 points. And Durham Place, 22 points.
C4, involvement in the local homeless resources network, maximum of 15 points.
Palmetto Hideaway, 9 points. Innovare, 9 points. Plateau Village, 10 points. Durham Place, 14 points.
Okay, thank you. Jean, can you scroll down just a little bit, please? Thank you. Okay. Charles, did you score all applications?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Submission requirements met. Section 3A.
No exceptions.
Okay. One, applicant certification and acknowledgement form provided.
No exceptions.
2A, homeless demographic commitment selected.
All met the requirement, but I'd like to make a note. The application submitted report stated that applications 477, 478, and 479 committed to a demographic percentage of 70% homeless, but the correct amount is 50%. This still meets the eligibility requirement.
Okay. 2B, at least one person with special needs population selected.
No exceptions.
2C, demographic commitment description provided.
No exceptions.
Okay, thank you. Okay. 3A1, name of applicant provided. There were no exceptions. 3A2, evidence applicant is a legally formed entity provided. No exceptions. 3A5, documentation that the applicant informed the jurisdiction's local continuum of care lead agency head of its intent to apply for funding to development housing pursuant to this RFA provided. There were no exceptions. 3B1, name of each developer provided. There were no exceptions. 3B2, evidence that each developer entity is a legally formed entity provided. There were no exceptions. 3B3, general development experience requirement met. There were no exceptions. 3C1, principles for applicant and developer's disclosure form provided and meets requirements. There were no exceptions. 3D1, name of management company provided. There were no exceptions. 3E1, authorized principal representative provided and meets requirements. There were no exceptions. 4A, name of proposed development provided.
No exception.
4B1, development category selected.
No exception.
4B2, development category qualifying conditions met.
No exception.
4C, development type provided.
No exception.
5A, county identified.
No exception.
5B, address of development site provided.
No exception.
5C, question whether a scattered site development answered.
No exception.
5D1, development location point provided.
No exception.
5D2, latitude and longitude coordinates for any scattered site provided, if applicable.
No exception.
6A, total number of units provided and within limits.
No exception.
6B, number of new construction units and rehabilitation units provided.
No exception.
6C, occupancy status of any existing units provided.
No exception.
61, minimum set-aside election provided.
No exception.
62, total set-aside breakdown chart properly completed.
No exception.
6E, unit mix provided and meets requirements.
No exception.
6F, number of residential buildings.
No exception.
Okay. 7A, evidence of site control provided.
No exception.
8D, minimum additional green building features selected if rehabilitation.
No exception.
Okay, thank you. Matt, did you score all applications?
Yes, I did.
Okay. 10A1, applicant's housing credit request amount provided.
No exceptions.
10A2, applicant sale request amount provided.
No exceptions.
10C, development cost pro forma provided, listing expenses and uses for uses, and construction slash rehab analysis and permanent analysis listing sources. Sources must equal or exceed uses.
No exceptions.
Okay, thank you. Total development cost per unit limitations met, section 5A1.
No exceptions.
Ms. Thorpe. Previous funding requirements met regarding no acceptance to invitations to credit underwriting. Section 5A1. Liz?
Hold on, let me check on her.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay.
Sorry, I tried to take myself off mute and knocked my entire thing off the
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, hung up on you. Okay. Are you ready for me?
Yes. I just had previous funding requirements met regarding no acceptance to invitations to credit underwriting section 5A1.
There are no exceptions.
Okay. Previous funding requirements met regarding no deobligation section 5A1.
No exceptions.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
So we'll now hear from Kenny Derrickson on financial arrears met section 5A1.
Kenny Derrickson, not on the committee. We have reviewed the past due report for any financial obligations for which an applicant or developer or principal, affiliate, or financial beneficiary of the applicant or developer is in arrears to the corporation or any agent or assignee of the corporation, as reflected on the most recently published past due report posted to the corporation's website, but not more recently than 5 business days prior to today's committee meeting. As of the close of business yesterday, there were none.
Thank you, Kenny. All right, Matt, 10D, qualifying financial assistance funding preference.
None of the 4 applicants met this tiebreaker criteria.
Okay. 10E, per unit construction funding preference, if applicable.
No exceptions, all yes.
Okay. Supported job creation preference, item 3 of Exhibit C.
All yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Gene and a representative from the Inspector General's office will now verify the lottery numbers assigned to each application.
David, are you there?
I'm here. I'm David Merck, Office Inspector General, not on the committee.
Would you like me to read the numbers and you can verify them?
Please.
Okay. So starting with application 477CS, lottery number 4, and then 123 going across.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Back to myself, 3B3 qualifies as a nonprofit applicant. All applications qualified as a nonprofit. Charles, region designation, section 45A.
These are broken down by applications, so I'll give them to you individually.
Okay.
477 is Tampa Bay. 478 is Tampa Bay. 479 is Central. 480 is Central.
Tampa Bay, Central, Central.
Correct.
Thank you.
All right. Charles, county size, section 45A.
And again, these are broken down by applications, so I'll give them individually. 477 is medium. 478 is large. 479 is medium. 480 is large.
Got it. Medium, large, medium, and large.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Jean. Will you please confirm the scores and conduct ranking?
I will. Thank you. I'd like to go through the scored items again, the point items, and just read out the scores for each line item. Starting with Rachel, for submission of principal disclosure form, standby corporation is pre-approved. All applications received 5 points. And then thank you. And then development experience withdrawal disincentive, all applications received 5 points as well.
Yes.
Elaine, for your scored item, operating and managing experience, I'd like to read the scores going across, starting with Palmetto Hideaway, 34, 31, 32, 30.
That is correct.
Thank you. Diana, for access to community-based general services, reading your scores across, 15, 16, 11, 11.
That's correct.
Thank you. Tracy Banner, for access to community-based services and resources that address tenant needs, going across 30, 34, 32, and 30.
Correct.
Thank you. For the first item for Zach, approach toward tenant application and screening procedures for households applying for tenancy. Going across, it's 17, 24, 19, 22.
That is correct.
Thank you. And then your second item, involvement in the local homeless resource network, going across 9, 9, 10, 14.
That's also correct.
Thank you. And for the benefit of anyone who isn't able to see the screens, the total points for each application going across is 115 points for the first app for 477 CS. For 478 CSN is 124. For 479 CS, 114 points. And then for 480 CSN, 117 points. For the eligibility requirements for Charles, and all applications met all requirements, eligibility requirements, but I'm going to go through and list them all just to make sure we have everything the same. For Charles, no exceptions to submission requirements met, applicant certification and acknowledgement form provided, homeless demographic commitment selected, at least one person with special needs population selected, and demographic commitment description provided.
That's correct.
Thank you. Rachel, no exceptions on name of applicant provided, evidence applicant is legally formed entity provided, documentation that applicant informed the jurisdiction's local continuum of care lead agency head of its intent to apply for funding to develop housing pursuant to this RFA provided, name of each developer provided, evidence that each developer entity is a legally formed entity provided, general development experience requirement met, principles for applicant and developer disclosure form provided meets requirements, name of management company provided, authorized principal representative provided meets requirements.
That's correct.
Thank you. For Charles again, no exceptions to name of proposed development provided, development category selected, development category qualifying conditions met, development type provided, county identified, address of development site provided, question whether scattered site development answered, development location point provided, lat long coordinates for any scattered sites provided if applicable, total number of units provided within limits, number of new construction units and rehabilitation units provided, occupancy status of any existing units provided, minimum set-aside election provided, total set-aside breakdown chart properly completed, unit mix provided meets requirements, number of residential buildings provided, evidence of site control provided, or minimum additional green building feature selected if rehab.
That's correct.
Thank you. Matt, no exceptions. Applicants, housing credit request amount provided, applicants, sale request amount provided, development cost pro forma provided with sources equaling or exceeding uses, and total development cost per unit limitation met.
Correct.
Thank you. Liz, no exceptions on previous funding requirements met regarding no acceptance to invitations to credit underwriting. And no exceptions on, thanks, and previous funding requirements met regarding no deobligations.
That's correct.
Thank you. And then Kenny, no exceptions on financial arrears met.
Correct.
Thank you, which again means that all applications are eligible for funding. For the tiebreakers, Matt, you have, for the qualifying financial assistance funding preference, no applications met that preference. And
correct.
Then, all applications met the per-unit construction funding preference and job creation preference.
Correct.
Thank you. And then lottery number, I'll verify again in a minute. Rachel, all applicants were qualified as nonprofit applicants.
Yes, that's correct.
And then Charles, the region designation, it was Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay, Central, Central. And county size is medium, large, medium, large.
That is correct.
Thank you. Okay. And see, Kevin, you have all the same information?
I do, yes.
Wonderful. Well, then I'm going to start copying this information into the next tab. And, again, this is similar to our application submitter report, but I've added some columns. I'm going to go ahead and copy the information in, and I'll be posting these spreadsheets. I don't know if I'll make it today, but hopefully by tomorrow I'll be able to post them. But I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to start with eligibility by copying this row and pasting it in. And I'll just take a moment and do that. Okay. And, Kevin, if you can help me just verify.
Jean, did you want to copy over columns D and E?
Yes, I do. Thank you. I was already jumping on to the next thing. Perfect. Thank you. Okay. And now there's one tiebreaker that we haven't been discussing at all, and that's the leveraging tiebreaker. And leveraging tiebreaker is described in back of the application. Let's see. It is on page 91 of the application. The complete RFA is modified on March 13th and March 19th, 2020. And there is a description of math that is applied to all applications, and that math was calculated in advance and put on the application submitter report using information that was in the applications. And some of that information might have changed during scoring, and I wanted to ask Matt, as finance score, the request amounts, did you change any housing credit request amounts during scoring?
No amounts were changed.
No amounts, so not housing credit sale and ELI, they were all remain the same. Good. And,
correct.
Of course, ELI doesn't go into the leveraging calculation, but that's still part of our selection process. So thank you for verifying all those amounts. So that means there are no changes to the leveraging amounts that we used on the application submitter report. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that we have enough information to begin our funding selection process. And if you're following along in the RFA, that begins on page 58 of this complete RFA modified on March 13th and March 19th. It begins by describing the eligibility items that, of course, we've been talking about. And then on page 62, there are description of our point items that we've also been talking about. So what I'd like to do is go ahead and make a copy of this. This spreadsheet that I have showing on the screen reflects all the point values. Again, this was something that I see that we could post to our website and also present to the board to ask them to approve, which reflects all of our scores as we've done today. And I'm going to make a copy of that spreadsheet so we can then begin our funding selection process and begin sorting these applications and select applications for funding. In fact, I'm going to call it selection. And so as I look at the RFA, starting at the very bottom of 62 and going on to 63, it begins by describing goals. And there are five goals. There's a goal to fund one application that's selected and qualified nonprofit application, a goal to fund one application located in Central Florida region, another one in the Tampa Bay region, another one in Medium County, and the fifth goal is to fund an application in Large County. And then it goes on to describe in a paragraph that an application that's selected for funding may meet more than one goal. For instance, if a nonprofit application for a proposed development in Brevard County is selected for funding, it may meet the goal to fund a nonprofit application, the goal to fund an application located in the Central Florida region, and also a goal to fund one application located in a medium county. So we'll be spending time talking about the goals in just a minute. There's also a section about funding available. And I asked around before we had this meeting and asked Matt to help us track the housing credit amounts. As we select applications for funding, if you can help us keep track of the balance, the spreadsheet is set to track that also. But if you could help also separately do it to make sure the spreadsheet is calculating correctly, that would be really helpful. Thank you. And the starting amount of our housing credits is $3,620,000. And it's broken out between requests for a maximum of $1,700,000 in medium counties and 2,375,000 in large counties. But if you can help us track that total amount of housing credits, 3,620,000. I gave Matt a spreadsheet in advance that you can write the application number in, the request amount, and then the balance remaining of those housing credits. That would be helpful. Thank you.
Sure.
And I also asked Diana to help us track the sale amount. Thank you, Diana. Diana, there's a total amount of sale for $10,262,100, $10,262,100. And that'll any request amounts that include sale and ELI, so it's this column here in the blue, that'll be deducted from that total sale funding. And, again, the spreadsheets are set to do that automatically, but if you can help us do it manually, that would be great, by writing in the application number, that total sale plus ELI request amount, and then the balance remaining. And
okay.
Those balances, thank you, and those balances should match. I have them on the spreadsheet. Oh, well, that's interesting. There are two different amounts of housing credits available according to the RFA, and I know Liz is on the phone, and I'm going to ask if Liz, if you know how I could have let something like that happen, by helping us verify which is the amount of competitive housing credits that's supposed to be available. I have on page 2 of the RFA, 4,075,000 in competitive housing credits. And then on page 63 of the RFA, I have $3,620,000 of housing credits.
Hold on.
Thank you.
Give me a second.
Yeah, no, I imagine you weren't expecting that question because
nope.
I wasn't expecting to find that.
Well, good. Hold on. All right. So 2,021,103. All right, so it should be 4,075,000, which is split between 1.7 million for medium county and 2,375 for large county.
Okay. Okay.
You have.
So my math. On page 63, where I have the total amount available, that was the incorrect amount. 4,075 is the correct amount. But the breakdown is correct. So thank you.
Yep.
So, Matt, I gave you a spreadsheet that reflected one housing credit balance, but it's 1,700,000 for medium counties and 2,375,000 for large counties. So if you can make sure that we stay within those boundaries.
Okay.
Those are the correct amounts. Does that make sense? Do you have any questions about that?
Hold on one sec.
Sure.
Okay, you said 1.7 mil for...
Medium counties.
Medium, and then 2.375.
Yes, 2.375 for large counties.
Got it.
Yes. Okay, so that's fun. Okay, thank you. So my spreadsheet was correct. It was a typo on page 63, and then page 2 of the RFA was correct, and the breakdown on page 63 was correct, but the total amount on page 63 was incorrect. But now we just fixed that, and now we are ready to begin. Thank you. So that means that we're ready to move on, unless anybody has any questions about that, to the sorting order at the bottom of page 63. And it says there that the highest scoring applications will be determined by first sorting together all applications that achieved at least 96 points, and all other eligibility requirements from highest score to lowest score, with any scores that are tied in the following order. And in looking at these applications, I see that there are no ties, but I will still go ahead and apply the tiebreakers just because I want to have everything in here as we said we were going to do. So I'm just going to take a moment and do that, even though I can see that the point values will determine the order that they're funded in. Just give me a moment. Again, I know that this isn't necessary, but they're all listed here in the RFA, and I want to do everything as instructed in the RFA. Okay, and I can see that they're in point value order, but I did go ahead and apply all tiebreakers. So then, going on to page 64, it also describes the county award tally, and that's our geographic distribution tool to make sure that we don't put select more than one application within the same county until all counties have a chance. But, of course, that doesn't apply here because they're all four unique counties. So then we can move on to the funding selection process. On page 64, it says the first application selected for funding will be the highest-ranking eligible application proposing a development that is located in Central Florida or Tampa Bay region that qualifies for a nonprofit application goal, which, of course, all four qualify. So the highest ranking in Tampa or Central is this first application, 478 CSN in Pinellas County. It's in the Tampa Bay region. It has a housing credit request amount, MAT of $1,165,367, 1-165-367. And Diana, it has a total sale request amount of $3,705,600, 3705,600. And that's our highest ranking application and the first one we're going to fund. And then the next application, the next paragraph goes on to describe that there are no applications that qualify for the nonprofit application goal located in Central Florida or Tampa Bay region. That doesn't apply here. We did have one that could be funded under paragraph 5A1. So I'm moving on to paragraph B1. On page 65, this is all regarding the second application selected for funding. And that first paragraph under B says that the application that was selected for funding in A above met the medium county Central Florida region funding goals, and that's not true, so we're not in that situation. That next paragraph says that the application selected for funding in A above met the medium county and Tampa Bay funding goals. And no, that's not where we are either. We had a large county Tampa Bay goal, so it's not B2 either. So looking at B3, the application selected for funding in A above met the large county Central Florida region funding goals. No, that's not what happened either. So looking at B4, if the application that was selected for funding in A above met the large county and Tampa Bay region funding goals, the second application selected for funding will be medium county application in the Central Florida region, and that's the application that will be our next application for funding. And there is one that qualifies, and that is application 479CS, Plateau Village. It has a housing credit request amount of $1,700,000. and then a total sale request amount of $4,014,700 for 014700. And that's our second application. And that should have been, Matt, the entire balance of our medium county funding. But then there
right.
is still a balance of large county funding. However, our other applications exceed that balance and therefore can't be fully funded.
Right.
Which means, as I read through on the remaining funding section on page 65, if funding remains, then the highest ranking eligible unfunded applications will be selected for funding regardless of the homeless demographic region or county size, subject to county award tally and funding test. However, if no eligible unfunded applications can meet the funding test, no further applications will be selected for funding, and the remaining housing credits and sale funding will be distributed as approved by the board. So that means that we've concluded our selection process. The sale request also, the sale balance doesn't, you know, we can't fund either the remaining eligible applications with sale or housing credits. So we're done.
Okay, thank you, Jean. Can you please read the application selected for funding into the record?
Yes, application 2020-478 CSN Innovare and 2020-479 CS Plateau Village.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a motion from the committee to accept the scores and recommendation for funding today?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Do we have a motion to recommend to the board that it adopt the scores and recommendations for funding of the review committee meeting?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Do we have a motion to adjourn this review committee meeting?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. This meeting was adjourned at 2:49 p.m.
Thank you. And Anne, we can disconnect the call now. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining and have a very good day.